Welcome to the Mad Trio Podcast. This week we have the California pariah, Jonathan Charney, and James the Fat Man Stevens. And because of the quarantine and some technological limitations at the moment, Ryan, well, we had to leave him out. He didn't get picked for the team this week. I thought this was interesting, but, you know, more interesting as in, hey, look at the shape of that box. Have you ever heard the, what it was? It was a Marky Mark, Mark Wahlberg movie called, I think, Rockstar, where he played some singer.
Yeah.
One of the songs they did was called We All Die Young. Apparently, I ran across that song, and apparently a band called Steel Heart originally sang and wrote the song. For some reason,
okay.
Are they
suing him?
No. I mean, but for some reason, granted, if they did the song in the movie, they had to grant rights unless it was owned by, you know, some evil corporation.
Studio.
Yeah. So I thought it was interesting. I mean, I just ran across it. It's never something that I would actually, you know, look up. But I thought it was interesting. And hopefully I won't sound like I have the consumption this week. I found my all-time favorite lozenge, which is the strongest menthol I've ever been able to find. Shout out to the people at Fisherman's Friends. It's absolutely amazing. Mileage may vary if you can keep it in your mouth. That's how strong it is. And usually I do two or three at a time. So.
Okay. What is it? Found
so
fishing?
It's called Fisherman's Friends. It's extra strength throat lozenges. And they're incredibly hard to find.
All right.
Why are they hard to find? I don't know. I don't think they're very popular around here. I'm assuming by the name of it and the design of it, it's probably more of an East Coast thing, but I found them in one of our local stores. So I'm excited. They're freaking amazing.
Huh? All right. I've never heard of it, but I don't really use those things very often either.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to stop coughing when we do the podcast. So it's, because I get a couple of the, you know, hey, so.
Consumption?
Yeah. Okay, go.
Go on.
Oh, okay. I was just going to bitch, so.
All right. I was going to ask you a question. When do you think an actor should stop acting?
What do you mean by this? You mean far as just in general?
Is there like an age point that you think they should just be done?
No. I think a couple of things. I'm kind of thinking this as I go through it, but if they still have the ability, I don't actually have a problem with them acting. I think they should. A lot of actors get aged out. I think the only thing I kind of feel sorry for is if the fact that they're just not the same person they used to be. And so there's some mental faculty issues. That's the only time I think maybe
Why
they should stop.
Why did you throw Forrest Whitaker under the bus again?
Forrest Whitaker had a stroke. He doesn't have mental problems.
Yeah, he does.
You know, it's like, so that's the only time I think, or they physically, depending on their style or how they do it.
So kind of like Michael J. Fox. I think Michael J. Fox can still act. I just think he should have the ability to take more breaks than most people, but.
Well, that would depend. You know. I think because of what he has, I think he has.
And I'm not bringing it up because of Michael J. Fox.
Oh no. But hold on. Let me finish. I was just thinking that if there's a role that fits him, you know, because of his physical limitations, I totally think he's for it. You know, I think he should do it if he wants to. He did try to do, a sitcom a couple of years ago that was fairly entertaining.
Yeah.
I know it bombed, but sitcoms, you know, they don't last forever.
Yeah. So I was watching, this kind of started going down my train of thought back when I watched The Irishman with Robert De Niro, which that movie sucked ass. And I really wanted Ryan in on this one because I was throwing The Irishman down there again. But, you know, I was watching, I watched that one and I just, It was basically Goodfellas with liver spots, but it was more of the thing that he wasn't a badass anymore, you know? He was trying to kick the shit out of somebody, and it looked like it was the worst performance I've ever seen of anybody ever trying to kick the shit out of somebody.
So,
and it was like, you just shouldn't be doing it. And then most recently, Prime has Rambo Last Blood. And I really can't say that Stallone wasn't performing the moves that he was supposed to in the movie. It seemed like that part of it could be believable, but it was like he was too tired during any scene that involved acting. It was just like he really didn't give a shit to me. So It was one of those, is this age? Is he just sick of this shit now? And this is why he's being done with it. But it was just one of those, it's like, maybe you're just too old to be doing this anymore.
I think some of it,
you know,
I can't say anything about the Rambo movies, because that one I don't have a clue. But the other movie, as far as The Irishman, the only thing I could think of is they were trying to do it in a style that he's just not capable of it. The reason why I thought of this is I heard an interview with Sammy the Bull Gravano. Hopefully that's right. And he was just explaining how he did things, his mythology, his methodical thinking, etc. And you could tell by the way he was speaking and how he did it, the provenance, the strength of his character, and why, if people didn't know him, on why you'd be scared of him. So I was thinking, maybe, because I haven't seen The Irishman, maybe that's the one thing that doesn't come across the screen anymore, is just the level of balls that he had in some of his younger acting, movies when he was younger. Because I've seen clips and pieces of it. There's a clip I saw that somebody pushed somebody's daughter, and he went in and kicked the crap out of this store owner, and it just...
Yeah.
It looked awful. There was nothing about it that looked
good.
Yeah. And I don't know why, but there was something about it that it just didn't feel right. And maybe, like, I don't know the plot. So I don't know why he didn't have his boys, or I didn't know why that was that way, but it just didn't feel right. There was something about it that was funky.
I just think at some point, an actor should just realize, I'm too old for this shit. I don't want to be doing this role because I can't do it properly, you know, and give it to somebody else who can. Now, I'm not saying Rambo, for one, because, I mean, that's Stallone. Movie.
In all honesty,
for somebody else, and I can't see it being done.
I wouldn't say that, because if some reason you're able to get a payday, I'm for everybody getting a payday. I really am. But the only thing is, I think they have to realize that maybe they need to change. And granted, this is Scorsese, so maybe Scorsese didn't realize the limitations.
Well, sorry about Rambo, but Scorsese just is Scorsese, and he's a piece of shit.
Well, yeah, as far as I was talking about Scorsese, so, you know, maybe there's some limitations that know about. Far as in Rambo, I've said this before, it shouldn't have been an action movie. It should have been in the flavor of First Blood, where maybe
the
a little...
One?
No, the original, Rambo. Rambo, it was Rambo First Blood.
Yeah. And, yeah, but I mean...
Like, because the first one, the last one, in my opinion, should have been a straight drama with flashbacks. It could have been a much richer film than what...
You're talking about Last Blood?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The Last Blood should have been, in my opinion... Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, if you can't follow my train of thought, because apparently my co-host can't.
Well, you were going kind of all over the place for a second there.
Yeah. I was just
getting back on track.
Last Blood should have been similar to First Blood. More drama, less action, and any action scenes should have been important. Because my idea for it, and I've said this before, is it should have been... A Rambo who's at the end of his life, who's reflecting on the friends he's lost, the things he's done, and just kind of have that sad overtone of, was I good, was I bad, etc. And maybe at the end of it, you could have totally done swerve where you have this once former badass was killed in a car crash. Or I think that would have been the great way to the end the series, because I think it would have kind of done justice to the character. It's like, here's a guy at the end of his life who was a badass and dies in a simple way. I thought that would have been a better movie than what it turned out to be, because in all honesty, I'm not going to believe a 70, close to 80 year old man is doing, like, digging all these tunnels, doing all this stuff, cutting off somebody's head. There's just
pulling out somebody's heart.
Yeah. There's just so much stuff that I just don't believe. And granted, I've known some pretty badass people at 80 years old that could kick ass. I just don't believe somebody's going to have the strength to hold down somebody who's screaming and kicking while you're cutting off their head. I don't believe that. Well, especially not in theory, a coked up, a drug cartel member. I mean, come on, let's be real here.
Yeah, I just am. I'm not necessarily like completely dislike the movie. I just think it was one of those that it could have been. I was more put off by just the lack of acting in the dramatic scenes that he was doing. That was the part that was really more not so believable to me. You know,
I'll be honest, Stallone and some of those other 80s guys have never been terrific actors. He did good in Rocky, but I think it was his lack of talking in the movie that actually made it better. If you kind of get my drift, because it wasn't exactly.
I get it.
He wasn't being like the Mike Rush Machine guy from the 80s commercials. He wasn't talking to model, like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because I was disappointed. I haven't seen the whole thing because I've watched clips and I've watched half of it. And I'm like,
but to me, that's where I get to the point of maybe you shouldn't be doing this anymore. You know, that's where I get to it. And now, granted, yeah, he go get your payday. That to me makes perfect sense. Go ahead, do it, get it done, whatever. But to me, it's like, maybe at this point in your life, you should be like, I probably shouldn't be doing this anymore. It's like when I saw Ozzy. Like, I mean, I swear to God, he probably rode a lark all the way up to the edge of the stage. And then got out there and did his thing. And it was, I love Ozzy. I do. I love Black Sabbath and all that stuff. But at some point, you shouldn't be 80, 90 years old up on a stage singing. You're just, it's over, you know?
I think that
I'm not saying throw in the towel, but I'm just saying, hey, you know, like you should have a line.
I do think, though, that was the reasons he did Expendables and he did other movies. I think if he has a younger cast or other actors around him, I think they're able to carry the lack of things, the lack of mobility, the lack of acting, etc. Whatever his weakness is, I think that's what he should have stuck with doing, you know, movies with partners. With like him and Jason Statham, I love together. They did a great job in the Expendables. That's why I think he could have done well with Rambo. I think you do it a couple of years, do it slowly over time. No.
Are you talking about
Stallone? Stallone should have done Rambo. You could have had Statham or somebody else in there to play some sort of character like a nephew, or I think you could have done it right. I just don't think, I think for some reason.
But Rambo was always a loner type guy. I mean, there was, what was it? Rambo 3? That he had a bunch of, he went with a team of special ops or forces or something, or Rambo 4, I don't remember.
Rambo 4 was the one of them. Rambo 4, I think, they used to call it Miramar, I don't remember what it's called now, but that's where he went to. But the end of that movie, not the last blood or whatever that the current Rambo one is, but the last one before that, the very last scene of the movie is he went home. That's why when I saw that, I'm like, oh, this is going to be badass. This is the last Rambo. This is going to be completely drama-driven with some action scenes. And, oh, this will be cool.
Nope,
and
it was drug cartel.
Yeah, it was stupid. I mean, and it's been, I remember hearing about this, like one of the Rambo movies, like a decade plus ago, when they said, oh, it's going to be Rambo versus a you know, some sort of nuclear this, and then that morphed into a Stegall movie. And there's like, I just think you need to realize your limitations. But granted, I was hoping for a completely different movie than what I saw. And I love all I love all the Rambo movies, but it was awful. For me, it was unbelievable. Uwe Boll makes better movies, and that breaks my heart to actually say that.
And the funny thing is, I was very happy to see him not make a Claymore.
Right?
You know, I mean, the only knife that they really showed him really making was a little tiny Damascus steel letter opener, which he used as a throwing knife later on. But, you know, it was one of those, I'm just like, you know, every Rambo movie, you're like looking to see what weapon is he going to make, you know? Or have, you know, and I was really happy that they didn't go with some, you know, like the one where they did, where he made the machete, you know, I was kind of happy about that. Didn't do that.
That was practically a curved Gladius. I mean, let's be honest. That thing was huge. Oh. It was a small scimitar.
Totally. But
I don't know. I mean, far as acting too, I mean, the bad thing about Hollywood is they age out people who I love. Like, they aged out Robin Williams. I know towards the end of his life, he was heartbroken because he couldn't get any roles. And granted, Robin Williams had other issues besides that, but that's the thing I hate is about Hollywood. Some of my favorite actors or actresses will never get roles because they're just too old, and that's...
But that's not quite what I'm saying either. I just kind of feel like
I think it comes back... Sorry.
I just think there needs to be somebody who's kind of like, who's more going to tell them, hey guys, you know, this isn't a punishment, but you gotta not be so much in this action role and to do something more like you were saying, where it was Rambo with more dramatic flair, I guess you could say. And to me, that would make more sense than him basically taking on a bunch of drug cartels by himself.
Oh, you know? 100%. Because I kind of said what my idea for Rambo would be. The Rambo 4 would be Rambo gets home and, you know, say he didn't get there to meet his parents, but his brother or whatever was there. And then, you know, so you had the interaction of two people trying to get to know each other. Again, so you have that conflict, and at the end of the movie, maybe he dies in a car crash, like no violence related, just a warrior at the end of his road who dies in the most mundane way possible, kind of oh God, what's his name, that 4-star general in World War II afterwards he died,
Patton?
Yeah, Pal Patton died. You know, something super mundane. I thought that would have been a perfect cap for the movie because it showed how he finally was able to get past his past. Because the fourth Rambo movie, that's when he kind of realized, okay, he kind of came over who he was. And then the fourth movie could be him, the storyline completion of that instead of, what the fuck did I just watch? Which is pretty much what I said.
Yeah. Yeah. I would be, it's one of those, I don't know. Now I'm not like totally, now I don't really hate this Rambo. I just want to point that out, but it was kind of one of those, it was basically a disappointment, you know? And I think it was mostly because of the fact that his acting was a little bit out there in the fact that it was like he just didn't give a shit about the acting portion. It was all about how brutal he could kill these basically cartel guys.
It wasn't the reason why I didn't like it is it wasn't what I wanted. And that's the hardest thing is it has to live up to what you want. And it just didn't live up to anything that I was hoping for. Like I had some sort of horse in the race, or I could call up the Stallone and say, hey, Stallone, you're making the wrong version. But, you know, that's the only thing I was kind of bummed at. But, and I think the weirdest things for me since doing Real Flicks reviews is I'm not as picky to some degree, but I hesitate less to turn off a movie that I don't want to watch. Like, it has to, there has to be some redeeming quality to me. Unless it's a movie I'm watching with my kid, then I'll put up with a lot of bullshit.
Yeah. I get that.
But yeah, so I'm super picky now, and I don't actually have a problem with that. But on the other hand, I'm also, if there's a movie that for some reason I forced myself to watch and I really liked it, I'll be the type of person, I'll sing the praises of the movie, but yeah. It takes a lot of force for me to want to watch it. And a friend of mine was actually listened to last week's episode and asked if I was going to watch The Platform. It's like, I hate horror movies and I hate horrible movies. That's let's be honest. I'm the wrong person who watches horror movies anyways, because somehow as an adult man, it still freaks me the hell out.
So, yeah, don't watch The Platform. And it's not like it's a scary horror movie. It's just a stupid one.
It's a horrible movie, which, you know, it's a horrible horror movie. That
yeah.
Yes.
And it's one you have to read the whole thing of.
That doesn't bother me. There was a, God, it was a Crystal something. It was a French movie.
Oh, Crystalis?
If I don't remember exactly, it was something like that, but it was a movie basically where they had this technology to basically to completely download the person's memories, put it on a disc. I loved that movie. That was, and it, to me, that's still one of the most revolutionary movies I've seen in a while, because it was completely different at the time than anything that I thought of. And I love foreign films. One of my favorite foreign films was The City of Lost Children, just because it was so random.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I think, I was gonna say the other thing, somewhat of a subject change, the movie I am looking forward to, and I thought it was supposed to come out this year, was the new Ghostbusters. And I'm wondering, I wonder if it is supposed to be released this year, if it will actually be released, because I have a feeling that the new Xbox is going to be delayed. And to be honest, I've been waiting for that for a couple of years. Because my Xbox is
more than a couple of years.
Well, my Xbox is kind of on the verge of dying, so it's one of those things that I've been waiting for. So according to this, a quick thing, it says Afterlife 2021. So apparently, I guess it may not be coming out. Yeah. So either they pushed it back, or the other information I saw was wrong. So hey, maybe this gives them time to make it better and not be like the all-female Ghostbusters. And by the way, if you're listening, I'm not bitching the fact it was all females. I'm bitching the fact it was just a bad movie. And it's not a bad good movie. It's just a bad movie. Matter of fact, we bitched about this for a while. Look in our archives. You'll find out my complaints about it. There's enough of them.
Well, the thing is I thought the film was almost completed.
That's
what my impression was.
That's what I thought. I just saw an IMDb link. Let me see if I can find it again. That just said 2021. So I'm assuming that there's some photography. There's some things about it that they weren't able to finish. Because it was giving a working title, Ghostbusters 2020. So maybe that was just a...
Interesting.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of confused, but either way, I'm still looking forward to it. I'm actually kind of disappointed. Post-production expected March 5th, 2021. So it had to have gotten pushed back.
Wonder why. That's kind of, I mean, it was,
I'm assuming
it was already being promoted like towards the end of last year.
I'm assuming that it's probably COVID related. They're probably not finished with it. And it was probably one of those things that requires, because maybe they had, was it ADR? Maybe they had some voiceovers to do. Maybe some last, you know, like principal's photography.
I didn't even think about the whole COVID portion of it. Yeah.
Because my guess is maybe they had ADR to do, which is voiceovers. Maybe there were some scenes they wanted to fix. If y'all don't know, usually after principal photography is finished, they usually watch it. And if there's some scenes they need to fix or change, yada, yada, they'll film that after the fact. Lord of the Rings, a bunch of movies do it. It's super common. That's the only thing I'm thinking. That's one of the reasons I'm wondering if the new Xbox will be delayed, because I don't know. Obviously, it's made in China. How many of their factories are going to be at full capacity running off Xbox, you know, Xboxes and the new PlayStation?
Yeah. That's a good point. I didn't even think about all that portion of it. But I mean, you still have a lot of factories here that are still putting out a lot of product, like bread. I mean, they're not shut down. There's a lot of factories like Oscar Mayer, you know, Ballpark. Those things are still running and putting out product.
There was a pork factory, a slaughterhouse that got shut down because of it. But so, yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of curious of that. And the other thing I've heard about COVID, and I just heard it today, which is super scary. So apparently this is going to be the apocalypse part of the show, just to let you know. Apparently in South Korea, a bunch of people that had COVID that got better all of a sudden are coming testing positive again. And
yeah, because you can get it right back again. Yeah.
So the thing I heard today is they might not have necessarily got exposed. The radio show I listened to this morning, somebody talked about how it's potentially possible that it stays in your body and just reactivates somehow.
Hmm. That's interesting.
And I haven't checked in this out, so this is per the radio show I listen in the morning, and the people I listen to are usually fairly try to do their due diligence. It's not like a Sean Hannity or an Air America thing. And there was also saying why potentially this is more lethal on men than women, as it says, the guys in the morning said he heard on a news report that it stays in your testicles somehow.
Interesting.
Which, well,
I was kind of
wondering, so if you had sex with your significant other or girlfriend, boyfriend, or whatever, would you be potentially exposing them to COVID?
That's interesting. I didn't even heard it. I haven't heard of that one.
I just heard it today. I have no idea if it's true, and I'm kind of hoping it's a great troll, because it's kind of funny.
That's kind of fucked up funny.
Well, yes. I mean, that's 100%.
For guys.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. None of this is funny. Ha ha, it's kind of... I must be the only person who does this, who wangs his foot really hard and just laughs because of the stupidity of how bad I just hurt myself. That type of thing. Because I do that all the time. I'll hurt myself and start laughing, and my wife will be like, what's happened? It's like, I just hurt myself. So why are you laughing? I hurt myself in the stupidest way possible. This is hilarious. I do it all the time. I'm not sure if that makes me a psychopath or not.
Just a masochist.
Oh, God, I hate pain. But you got to admit, when you do something really stupid, it's just the absurdity of it is hilarious.
Yeah, there are times. There are times, but, you know.
Like a family member of mine shut their hand in the door, and the door was locked, and so they had to get out their keys and unlock the door while their hand was stuck in the door.
I've done that.
I'm not surprised, coming from the human pincushion.
And then I had to put my wheelchair together with a finger that was completely split open.
Yeah,
it happens.
I got to say, as part of the dour part of the show, I'm still kind of tired of people, because I was in a local box store grabbing a couple of items, and we're supposed to stay anywhere between 6 to 8 feet away. I would prefer 8. My territorial bubble is rather large, unless you're my significant other. And there were people within 4 feet of me or closer. And I'm not a man who's violent generally, and I'm not somebody who yells a lot, but I really wanted to tell somebody, like, you know, stand back or start coughing or do something that would make these people just cough. The problem is, didn't somebody do that and get arrested? I don't want to potentially...
crop dusting?
Oh, crop dusting. I thought you said cough at them. That would have been...
I said crop dusting.
Crop dusting. That would be funny.
I mean, if they're going to share your bubble, they might as well get the full flavor.
What I should have done is called you and, you know, just say, hey, you know, yeah, the test is positive. And just name off some disease, and all of a sudden see these people back off, you know. But don't worry, it's only explosive, you know. fuck, man. This is such a weird time in life, and the potential to be the worst... the worst disaster in modern human history, far as some sort of disease. It's so fucking weird.
Yeah.
I mean, because we're potentially living in the dark ages when the bubonic plague. Granted, it's not as bad as the bubonic plague, because you're not bleeding from orifices. Nobody in giant masks. Or it could potentially, after it's over, could be the third great depression in U.S. history. If y'all don't know that, there was a Great Depression after, before the great, the original Great Depression. It was, I feel like, 50, 60 years earlier. True story, by the way. So it's really weird. Or we could be in another, the second great the repression or whatever the hell it is. It's just such a weird time. And then you have, then you.
Did you just say repression.
Recession. I couldn't.
You said recession, depression, and repression.
Yeah, I was hoping you wouldn't catch that. And it's
so much.
And it's really weird too, because if you pay attention to the media, it's either going to be fine or we're all fucked. It's the weirdest moment because you pay attention to the alphabet networks. Trump's going to kill us all. Die, die, you know, or if you listen to like Fox News, it's like, it's okay, baby. It's so fucking odd.
Yeah. See, I don't have patience for any of it all. I really don't. It's like, I mean.
At this point, this is my masochist side. Like, I pay attention enough to kind of be informed, to kind of know what's happening, just so I know. But besides that, I don't pay attention to it. But the level of insanity, not, you know, on my Facebook feed, on my on the news networks is hilarious. If you guys don't find this funny, you guys need to get out more. Well, you can't technically get out more, but watch one of those nature videos with David Attenborough, then come back and watch the news. And my favorite part of it is James is coming up with something to say, is my little boy doesn't know a single thing. It reminds me, and this is a very bad comparison, by the way, so please forgive me, is there's a movie about people being in concentration camps and this dad doing everything they can so the kid doesn't know where they are. That's what this kind of reminds me of, because it's like the world is dying. People are, you know, we're throwing the United States into, or the world into a depression, and my little boy's just having fun. It is the greatest joy of my life watching my son giggle and not realizing the world is falling apart. It's hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, well, what are you going to really tell him? Like, oh, there's a lot of sick people out there, son.
Well, my son, if my son is anything like me, he's going to know that before too long. But that's one of the reasons I love kids. And it's just because they don't know it. They don't care. And I'm going to protect that as long as I can, just because once the bubble's popped, he's going to turn into a jaded bastard like I am. And let's be honest, the world has enough of us. With James and I, that's too much. That you know, because Ryan's still kind of a utopian. James and I are like, we're fucked.
Well, it's kind of the truth.
But man, it's so weird. I just don't know. I don't know how to take it, because watching it from a distance, it's like an 80s. It's like an introduction to an 80s post-apocalyptic movie. You know, that 30-second to 5-minute clip where they explain why the world just went sideways. That's what this really reminds me of, because it starts out with a disease escaped from a lab in China, or the disease started out in a wet market in China and slowly the world's population died. And, you know, it just, you can't write shit better than this. All you need, you know, I mean, am I wrong?
Well, I'm thinking that's probably where they got the whole thing. It's like they're just a, you know, one of those movie scripts that nobody really wanted to keep, and they got rid of it and ended up becoming, you know.
I mean, all we put out there, all we need is a dude in all leather and a suit with a lot of zippers, a midget sitting somewhere. There's a midget who's the boss. Could be like a Warwick Davis type of actor. And then we need our forlorn hero who's just, the world is burdened on him for some reason. He's just this dour guy who's forced to save the world type of thing. Like Mad Max meets Thunderdome meets Outlander with Sean Connery.
God.
And then somewhere along the line, there's Tina Turner singing a random song that everybody goes, okay. And then just to make the more random funny parts, you have like a Bill S. Preston Esquire type character in there somewhere. Like you can't write anything.
Really?
Well, you got to have the comedy act. You know, Tina Turner's in there. Tina Turner's in the set for the soundtrack. And in these 80s movies, there's always something really funny that adds kind of the laugh factor. That's why you have the, you know, the Bill and Ted kind of, hey, cool, before somebody ends up dying some horrific death, like being sucked out of, you know, like being sucked out of a, out of an interlock or something.
But that's part of the fun.
Hey, it's not like I've thought about this, but I'm a huge fan of post-apocalyptic movies, so I've seen enough of them. I know how this starts. But
I couldn't tell.
All it's missing now, that if I see Arnold, an Arnold Schwarzenegger-esque guy walking down naked, I know, at least I know who he is at this point. That's Sean Penn.
Oh, jeez.
And no, I'm not punchy, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just kind of sick of the bullshit. I'm sick of the stress. I'm sick of everything. So being goofy and laughing off just makes the world a better place. And if you don't like my sense of humor, well, I highly doubt you're listening to this podcast. Because
that's a good point.
Let's be honest. James Ryan and I aren't normal when it comes to our sense of humor. Or in general,
I am perfectly normal. We've had this conversation.
I was once described as a dark cloud on a moonless night. So let's be clear here where my sense of humor lies.
Who the hell described you like that?
I don't remember, but I remember the description because it was hilarious.
Dark cloud on a moonless night.
Yeah, it's that's a pretty. What do you think of that?
Thinking that's got to be like Liz or what is it? Somebody.
That's a pretty good burn, though. But I'll claim it.
Yeah. Yeah, why not? Name it and claim it, right?
Exactly. Testify.
Oh, man.
As long as it's fine. You know, as long as there's not 12 people in a box, please.
There's really nothing out there these days other than news on freaking COVID and that bullshit. There's really nothing else out there to really talk about these days, you know?
There's,
I mean, everybody else is just stuck at home doing jack shit. I mean, I'm mostly reading and watching random ass TV. I started watching Bosch on a Prime, which isn't a bad show. It was just one of those, why not, you know?
Right now for me, I don't know why all of a sudden this got louder. What the hell? Right now for me, I'm one of the lucky ones. I'm 100% blessed that I'm still working. And I'm incredibly thankful for that. I'm just to tell you guys, I'm not bragging. I'm incredibly thankful that somehow by the grace of God or the four winds or whatever you believe that I'm still collecting a paycheck. But my wife is having fun. You know, she's playing with our son, reading, you know, doing a bunch of stuff. I don't know how well I would do. I have a feeling my wife would send me to the studio.
Yeah.
A friend of mine, when I was working at a big blue box store, said the only reason why he's working at such an older age, he says it was self-preservation. I said, what do you mean? It's like, my wife's going to kill me if I stay home for too long. And after after meeting his wife, that wasn't an idle threat. That woman's a spitfire. She would totally, never mind knifing in the back. He would see it coming. But she's
wake him up first.
Oh no, totally. She's awesome though. I really like both of them. But I think if you see for some reason a sudden daily increase of Mad Trio podcast episodes, you know why. The daily update with the California pariah. I'm pretty sure that would be sad and very dour.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm sure she'd be okay with you for like a few days.
I think for the first weekend, and then she would tell me to GTFO.
Possibly.
Let's be honest here. Neither of us, you, me, and Ryan aren't necessarily the easiest people to get along with for long spans.
What are you talking about? I'm perfectly fine.
Yeah, when you're by yourself. I mean, I've only kicked myself.
There's no argument there.
I've only kicked myself out of a room once, but man, was that an ugly argument?
Yeah, and you lost,
right? Oh, I did do something cool, and I've said this before, and people may think this is really stupid. I listened to the 1943 Game 3 of the World Series. I listened to half of it. It's really, I really dug listening to that, because it's how they even present it on the radio is pretty badass. I really enjoyed listening to it.
Just at work?
Yeah, I was working, and because it's I'm an auditory and visual learner, so when it's something, I love listening to sports more than watching sports. Watching sports to me is incredibly dull, but listening to the radio announcers are awesome. Matter of fact, I love listening to the Spanish announcers on soccer, even though I have no idea what they're saying, but they sound so animated about it. Goal! You know.
Yeah.
I wish I spoke Spanish, because listening to a soccer game sounds fun.
One of the funniest episodes of The Simpsons is the part with the whole soccer section. There's like, it's funny because they're like, center passes to whatever in the English, center passes back. Center passes back. Hold it. Hold it. Hold it. And then they go to the Spanish and they go, blah, 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 blah. They just flip it out. And it's like one of the funniest things, because everybody in the audience is getting bored as shit. But, you know, like the Mexican announcer is like having the best time of all.
They need to train American English announcers to be so excited about things, because a good announcer could make paint dry sound amazing. I was trying to think of stuff to talk about, and that's one of the reasons I had the rant at the beginning of last week's episode, just people are starting to piss me off more than ever. And it's just stuff that could easily be solved by just shutting up and talking to somebody.
It would be easier.
And I had the conversation, like a friend of mine, after they listened to it, asked me about it, said, what was that rant about? It's like, you know, the world would be easier if you just talked. I mean, you don't really, the biggest lie of the modern age is you have to agree with everybody or what they stand for, or, you know, yada, yada. It's like, all you have to do is just to agree to disagree. As long as you're friendly, you're going to disagree with everybody. I mean, the only thing I think limitation with that, to be honest, is racism. I don't know how you do that, but if there's a way to do that, you know, if a Ku Klux Klan member, for example, is talking to some random black dude, somehow if there's a friendly interaction that's possible, then, you know, but that's the thing, the world's missing. Oh, there was a black dude. Oh, dude. Sorry, there's an interview. There's a Joe Rogan podcast about this guy. I'm really sorry I don't remember this guy's name, because he has an amazing story of going to Klan rallies, and he's gotten a bunch of people to turn over new leaves and realize how racism is wrong. The dude has an amazing story. Look at the Joe Rogan podcast and find it. It was probably the best podcast he's ever had, in my opinion. But I think that's what the world is missing. And that's what I still hope after this
what
is
over. The world needs now.
Totally. was it? I think if anything happens out of this stupid coronavirus, I'm kind of hoping that maybe the world is willing to sit down and listen. But if you actually pay attention to any of the politicians, there's not a chance. Some of my greatest experience in life is just talking to people who are different than me. Gay, straight, black, Asian. I've had some amazing conversations with people because it's stuff that's outside of my worldview and purview. But hey, I'm not like everybody else. If you're listening to the podcast, you realize I'm not like everybody else. Now, the question is, did the person I was talking to understand what I'm saying? Probably didn't follow the conversation. Let's be honest.
Probably didn't care.
James is translating
a lot of people.
James is translating for me half the time. Actually, the coolest conversation I had is I sat down with an older black guy one time, just said, hey, man, have you ever had anybody, you know, call you an N-er? And it was a pretty cool conversation just to hear the shit the guy's gone through. And I don't remember all of it, but just to hear his side of things was pretty cool. It's never something that I've sat through in person, you know, kind of like you could reach out and touch the guy. That was a cool conversation. Got to be in the room with a Holocaust survivor as a kid. Didn't get to sit one-on-one with him. Would have loved to actually get to sit down with a Holocaust survivor at my age right now, if I was then, would be pretty badass.
Yeah, I doubt that's going to happen anymore. I mean, there's only a handful left now.
Yeah, and they're getting up there in age, unfortunately. I've got to sit down with a handful of veterans, and they didn't tell me everything, didn't expect them to, but heard enough stories to, you know, turn an already pale guy whiter. So I've had some amazing conversations. An acquaintance of mine is pansexual. I was talking to her about that. And that was, so I love having conversations. I might not understand the what the person's talking about, or I may not agree with it or yada yada, but it's been fun, man. It's been eye-opening, some of the shit I've talked to about people.
Well, pansexual is not a rare thing anymore. It's kind of like a lot of people are that now.
Well, yeah. No, you're right. But at the time, I'd never heard of it. I was outside of anything within my purview. The only person I know that was that way. So it was kind of like just talking to the person and hearing what they said. It's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. I get that. Because it was nothing that I'd never even heard of the term. Up until something I signed up for, and I don't remember what it was, asked my sexual orientation. And there were like 12 different things, and half of them, I'm like, okay, I know what this one is. What?
I heard of it a few years ago, at least like 5 years ago, probably longer than that. I was watching some bloody show or some shit.
Hello?
And I was like, what the hell? And then that's how I found out about it. I don't remember what it was. I think it was some stupid reality show that my ex was watching, but that's when I remember hearing about it the first time was from something like that. And I kind of can't remember what show it was.
Well, James tries to think of it. One of the coolest things.
I'm not going to think about it anymore.
One of the coolest things I've learned about talking to people is, this is kind of weird, but geek is universal. And, there's people of different shades of, different hues and shades that are far geekier than me. And even, you know, that the basic conversation, the bond that we had is anime or computers or old television shows. And I, like I said, that's the ties that bond, is you have some sort of common correlation. And it's been proven in my life, 100% true. If I have something with common with somebody, I can talk to them for hours. Doesn't matter who the fuck they are. However, if you are a close talker, I don't like you. James may remember this. He may not. I was in an art gallery once and was talking to a guy who was a close talker. I literally walked 2 or 3 laps around this art gallery, keeping the same distance away from the guy. Don't be a close talker. Please. It's gross. Do you remember that?
I think so. I'm just like, I'm really thinking about the whole close talker thing. Like, what the hell is the point of it?
And I'm deaf as a stump. And,
what?
Right? That's the number one thing. I think I'm surprised my son's first word wasn't, huh? Can you repeat that? And I can't stand close talkers, mainly because it's like, just, it's gross. And unless you're my wife, I don't want you that. If you're my wife, my family members, I don't want you close enough that I can see any, goop leave your mouth. I don't want to smell your breath. You know, And I think it's funny now, but at the time I was kind of grossed out.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really like talking to people.
You're more of a curmudgeon than I am, and I would have never picked that out because you were the one with a trail of people behind you.
Because they wouldn't stop being there. It's like, go away.
Dude, people were, to you, you were like, everybody else was like a little lost puppy to you, and you were their mama because you attracted everybody. You attracted people that I was like, oh, this is going to be entertaining to watch. And it usually was when you saw that one person, and I couldn't explain it, but you just look at a person and go, oh, this is going to be like, this is going to be like oil and hot tar. This is, this is going to be fun to watch.
I don't get it. I don't know. People just need to leave me alone, and that's where I'm at. But people don't. I don't know why. I really don't. I never understood it.
I still don't get it because I'm the guy who quasi likes people, wants to hang out with people all the time. And then here, when you were my roommate, you were getting calls left and right. Hey, man, let's hang out. And, you know, my phone could have been off and nobody would have noticed.
It's like, I still didn't hang out with very many people.
No, this is true. I don't get it. I always thought it was hilarious. Just the last, at some point I'm going to make you a t-shirt, you know, that says, not looking for lost puppies or something, a total inside joke, because that's what happened in school. And matter of fact, anytime we hang around, people do the same thing. I don't care if we're at a coffee shop, just, you know, having a coffee and a bagel, somebody walks up and sits down. It's like, what the hell? Who the hell are you? And why are you sitting down? And you usually have the same expression, like,
What are you doing? No way.
I didn't invite you. Get.
I never understand. I don't understand it. It's just people need to leave me alone and they don't.
And it's funny too, because I've heard you say some horrific shit to get people to leave you alone. Like after you say, go, I don't like you. And then you'll say other horrible things, and then they still stick around. It's like, I would get punched if I said that. I've always been amazed. I want to videotape it. It's a sight to behold.
Well, they can try to hit me.
I've practically heard you tell people to fuck off in different languages, and they didn't.
That's true.
I mean, let's be honest.
I can't lie. I do know how to cuss in a few different languages than I do.
I think that's every
keep practice.
I think that's every teenager's joy, is to learn how to tell people to fuck off in like Spanish, German, Swedish. You know, it's knowing how to do it, so that way if you ever go to different countries, you know the exact thing to say.
I used to be able to cuss in 7 different languages. now I can only do maybe 3 or 4.
You're going to have to brush up. Old age is getting to you. Next thing you know, you're going to be, you know, using a cane, drinking menthol tea or something, or Metamucil.
I've never been a menthol fan.
I like
anything. Maybe menthol.
I love it in cough drops because it's the only thing that works. Besides that, I don't get it. I remember the first time I wanted a cigar, so, you know, like you grabbing, was it a menthol cigar or something? Or maybe it was a cigarette. I don't remember. All I remember is smoking it and just saying, why would anybody want a menthol tobacco? I still don't understand that.
Yeah, you know.
No offense to you Newport fans out there or whatever they're called. I just don't get it.
I've noticed a lot of women are into menthols. And I don't know why.
It definitely doesn't help your breath because you still smell like an ashtray.
Yeah, that's the thing I never understood. And I remember like a lot of people telling me like it gets rid of cotton mouth the first, you know, off it. And I don't know, I'd rather have a cotton mouth.
I don't.
That was my viewpoint.
Tobacco's never given me cotton mouth, but. Granted,
no, that's not what I'm saying. No, I'm saying it gets rid of cotton mouth from smoking pot.
Oh.
After you smoke pot, you smoke a menthol and it gets rid of the cotton mouth.
I'd rather have a glass of water.
I'd rather have the cotton mouth than a menthol. That's always been my viewpoint.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I was told. I never really tried it, so I can't really justify, or, you know, I can't give credence to it. So
next time I run into a couple of people, I know some ladies who used to smoke menthols, who I'm pretty sure at some point in time
smoked pot.
Smoked weed. I was going to say, consume some vegetation. So I'll have to ask if that was the reason why they smoked menthols. But you're right. It totally seems to be. I know more women in my life who have done it.
Yeah.
Granted, it seems to be a guy thing from my experience to really like bold tastes and flavors. I have heard there's a genetic reason to that, though. Don't know how much I actually understand of it. But
I don't know. I don't know. I think it's also a generational thing. We grew up at a time when it was you finish what's in front of you. So if it was something that you didn't really like, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that totally could be.
I kind of do the same with my son, you know. Don't throw that away. You finish it. We're not wasting, you know. That's just part of life. I mean, we're in a society of waste. I mean...
Well, let's hope your son doesn't grow up to smoke, because he's going to be looking for refries everywhere.
No, I don't think he will. He was all against me smoking and everything. And
see, you know,
I kind of moved on to the douche flute for one. It doesn't make me stink as much. And it also, at some point, you know.
You know, now that you say that, that is one thing that I didn't think of. Because when we were younger, in our advanced age, smoking was super common. I remember smoking sections in restaurants, and as a kid thinking it was stupid, because even as a kid, I realized, hey, it's going to waft over here, especially usually the non-smoking and smoking section. The only difference was a booth. So you're right. It was common. I remember people smoking in houses and ashtrays. I remember hearing friends' parents say, yeah, I cleared out Aunt Matilda's house yesterday, had to scrape out the windows. You know, she smoked for 40 years in that house. And it's super not common now.
Nope.
I
mean, the only thing that I can see him doing at some point is probably vaping, because that's what all the teenagers are doing now. You know, I mean, that's become the new cool thing. And probably by the time he gets to the point of finding whatever would be the new cool thing, it'll probably be some type of vaping or some.
So maybe it's just my age. Smoking, you know, this is definitely showing my age, but you know, smoking, you think, oh, I look like James Dean or the Marlboro Man. There's just nothing cool about a dude smoking out of a vape. You don't look hip. You know, you're not the guy from the 50s with a pack of smokes wrapped in his t-shirt. No, you're the dude who looks like he's smoking out of a recorder from elementary school.
Yeah.
But you know, like I said, I'm old. I grew up in an age when baggy pants was the hip thing. So matter of fact, I still got a pair of JNCO jeans at home somewhere that I need to find somebody to fix.
Oh my God. Now that if you haven't watched those kids experience shit from the 90s or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The JNCO one's freaking hilarious.
I saw that.
Oh, man.
See, this is what the generation gap is. I saw that, and it's like, dude, those are badass pants. Matter of fact, some of the women's JNCOs, I always wish they made the patterns for guys, because some of them are pretty cool.
Oh, man, the JNCO one's hilarious. The funny thing is that they only picked the really ridiculous JNCOs. They didn't pick the actual JNCOs that most people wore. They picked the most ridiculous ones they could find.
Oh, the ones that had like the 6-inch bell.
Yeah.
We knew a guy in high school. The first time I saw him wearing those, I thought he was wearing a skirt, which I was like, eh, whatever, if that's what he wants. And then I realized, holy crap, those are pants. And it rained that day, and so it soaked by the end of the day, because I think the pants were too long for him, that was wet up to his knees.
Yeah, that was the bad thing about JNCOs, is like if they dragged on the floor during the rain, it was like they just like absorbed the water like a sponge, sucking it all the way up the freaking pants.
However,
so, I mean, you always had to have them to where they were the lengthwise were right.
However, I
so that they weren't dragging.
I have a pair of them. I have a pair, and I've had the pair probably for 22 years at this point. Fuck, I'm old. And the only thing wrong with them, they're thin in a few spots, and there's a hole in the pocket from where I used to wear a chain wallet. Besides that, those are the most well-made pair of pants I have ever had. I would pay extra money to get a pair of Levi's to last me. I wore them for a decade before I stopped wearing them, before people started giving me funny looks, and I got fat for them.
They lasted a freaking long time. They were well-made pants. That's just all there were to them. I mean, they were just well-made pants.
So apparently you and me are finally at the age where, you know, we're like the old guy when he talks to his friends, like, back in my day, we're officially that old when we can have conversations, you know, that start with back then, and it's far enough away that half of our audience weren't alive back then.
Sadly true. Yeah.
I think it was hilarious because I've seen kids nowadays, and this is definitely an age thing, that I saw kids doing stuff and shouting at their parents, and I'm thinking, my dad would have hit me for that. Like, yeah, and it's not, and it's, and it wasn't like, oh, it's a little thing. It was something enough that my dad would have just smacked me in public, something he never did. Well, I guarantee you would have if I said what this kid said. And then, you know, or these kids smart off, and I just think it's hilarious because I literally have pants older than these kids and sometimes their parents. It's like, what the hell happened to me? I shouldn't be this fucking old.
I remember as a teenager, we were over at my grandparents' house. And my grandpa had a temper.
I'm not surprised knowing your family.
One of our younger cousins was there, and he said something in front of my grandpa. And I remember all of us older cousins looking at each other like, oh, this is going to be funny. And then we're watching, and my grandpa didn't do shit. And I remember all of us cousins looking at each other like, wait a second here. So we did shit not even remotely as bad as that. And got our asses beat by him.
So you were expecting like the scene from the end of Friday when Smokey was standing up against the bad guy going, you got knocked the F out. You were expecting that?
Exactly. That's exactly what we were all expecting. And nothing happened. I just remember looking at all of us cousins, like all of us giving each other a look like, what the fuck just happened? there was supposed to be a reaction here. And nothing happened. We're all like totally disappointed because I mean we were all ready for a show. I mean my grandpa was like one of those Archie Bunker types too. sort of the whole to the moon type of shit too.
Oh God! But, so I watched the last episode of All in the Family the other day or a couple of weeks ago. That was the saddest fucking episode. I literally was like, damn, that was a really well-written episode. I won't spoil it for you guys because I love All in the Family.
Like that anymore.
Man, the weirdest thing is I grew up, I was a total TV head. My son's probably going to be the same way. I love TV. I watched stuff at a young age that I probably shouldn't have, but I loved TV. And the older I get, it's just like, not only not have time, but I think my interest in modern storytelling is kind of over because modern storytelling to me is over dramatic. Everything's kind of like Rescue 911 now. And it's, I'm over it. I mean, the writing, however, has never been better, but everything is so kind of like dun, dun, dun. Like everything's the weakest link. Like every scene, you know, you're hearing some British lady. It's like, you're the weakest link. Goodbye. I mean, and I just can't take it because it's so ridiculous. Watching parts of Game of Thrones, because I haven't seen the whole thing. I've seen bits and pieces of it and episodes of it. And I'm like, really? This is how dramatic you're taking this? And it's usually, you know, the parts of it's usually nothing. However, my favorite scene of all time, of all the bits I've seen, granted, haven't seen a lot, is when that little girl killed that guy who was eating that pie or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was a good scene. That was really well written.
They're here, my lord.
Eating long pork. So,
that was a pretty good one.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're actually listening, hey, you get a gold star. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You can. What I want you to do, write a piece of paper that says Mad Trio Gold Star. Pin it to your coat. And so we thank you for listening, all 2.5 of you. Because I'm assuming one of you listening is probably on the shorter side. I'm assuming the person who knows who I'm calling them out is know who I'm talking about. But so thank you for listening. If you guys have any topics or anything you want us to talk about, hell, if there's a movie you'd like us to watch and we somehow find time in our busy schedule, well, hold on, reverse that. My busy schedule, because I think James' schedule's been freed up.
Yeah, for the most part.
so we're down for doing things. If any of these topics you're listening to kind of spark your interest, please let us know. Like I said, I'm down to talking to anybody, so send us an email. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook, madtrioshow@gmail.com if you want to send us a link or a conversation bit. Shout out to you, and hopefully I'll be able to figure out why I can't get Ryan and James on at the same time. I'm supposed to getting some fixes to what we have so we can do that, because we all know you miss hearing Brian ramble on, because you just get to hear me ramble on, and how fun can that really be?
I'm not a rambler.
No, you're not. Listening to you have conversations with friends of ours is hilarious, because they're talking in long sentences. You'll just be like, I don't like that. It's like I said, I've gotten better. Uh-huh. Yeah, I've gotten better at laughing at the absurdities of life, because if you don't laugh at folks, laugh at things, folks, life gets way too serious, way too fucking quickly.
Learn
to laugh. And this is from guy who has been described as a dark cloud on a moonless night. So, ladies and gentlemen, for the California Pariah, Jonathan Charney, James the Fat Man Stevens, and Ryan, I promise it won't hurt Preston, as always, thank you for listening.
Goodbye.